In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Paraclete, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good, Master of life, come, dwell within us. Cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're going to look now at the 22nd Sunday in Ordinary Time, which is going to be September 1st. Part 1, the theme of this liturgy, the readings of the liturgy, is humility. And so I want to talk about that for a while. I don't think I'm any expert on the topic, but we should consider our Lord's teaching, you see. As I think you know, or you must have heard, humility is the absolute backbone of the rule of Saint Benedict. He's got a chapter on humility. And if I can find it here, yes, here it is, chapter 7. It's very important that we understand. You see, this is the backbone of the rule. Huh? So it starts this way, the rule. Brothers, divine scripture calls to us, saying, whoever exalts himself shall be humbled, and whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. Those are our Lord's words, and they're from Luke 14:11 and 18:14. In saying this, therefore, it shows us that every exaltation is a kind of pride, which the prophet indicates he has shunned. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lifted up. I have not walked in the ways of the great, nor gone after marvels beyond me. And then goes to a psalm, and why not? Why? If I had not a humble spirit, but were exalted instead, then you would treat me like a weaned child on his mother's lap. Accordingly, brothers, if we wish to reach the highest summit of humility, if we desire to attain speedily that exaltation in heaven to which we climb by the humility of this present life, then by our ascending actions we must set up that ladder on which Jacob in a dream saw angels descending and ascending. This is the, notice the whole treatment is alluding to biblical texts. So the first step of humility, there are 12, is that a man keeps the fear of God always before his eyes and never forgets it. If we're always aware of God, we're not going to do anything stupid or self-exalting. We're in the presence of God. Now, how does that get to be second nature? By practice. After a while, we get to know ourselves so well that we never think of exalting ourselves. You know, it's just stupid. And so, that first step, you see, is to keep the fear of God before our eyes. And he must constantly remember everything that God has commanded, keeping in mind that all who despise God will burn in hell for their sins, and all who fear God have everlasting life awaiting them. In other words, the two ways from Psalm 1, you know? So he guards himself, you see. We move from that on. Huh? The second step, the first step is the backbone. Huh? As for the desires of the body, we must believe that God is always with us. All my desires are known to you, from Psalm 37 in the Vulgate, as the prophets tells the Lord. Then we must be on our guard against any base desire, because death is stationed near the gateway of pleasure. The second is that a man love not his own will, or take pleasure in the satisfaction of his desires. Now, that's a great discipline. If somebody wants you to do this, and you say you're not going to do it, you're going to do that, or you're making excuses and you're not around, say that, then you're not humble. The third step is that a man submits to his superiors. Fourth, that this in this obedience under difficult and unfavorable, or even unjust conditions, his heart quietly embraces suffering. That's pretty great, huh? Quietly embraces suffering. He goes through that. Then, the fifth, a man does not conceal from his abbot, or his spiritual director, his sinful thoughts, any sinful thoughts entering his heart. In the desert, the monks went every night to their spiritual director and reported on any aberrant thoughts they had during the day. That's a great discipline. Hard to maintain if you're not living right next to your spiritual director, but it's a great practice, okay? The sixth step is that a monk is content with the lowest and most menial treatment. They overlooked me when they were looking for the president of blah blah. Great. Blessed are you. Now you're like Jesus. Nobody ever invited him to take full charge of anything, and he's the Son of God. The seventh step, that a man not only admits with his tongue, but he's convinced in his heart that he is inferior to all and of less value. That's a great step, to be convinced in your heart that you're a jerk. The eighth step is that he doesn't do anything that everybody else isn't doing, like in the monastery, which this is about. I mean, the context of this is there. And the ninth is that he controls his tongue. The tenth, that he's not given to a lot of laughter. A lot of our laughter is escape. St. Benedict says, for instance, in Lent, mortify yourself. And don't be laughing all the time, because it's just a way of distracting yourself from reality. Now, he's not talking about being somber and a sourpuss. He's talking about that way we joke and laugh and blah, 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 and live outside reality. And the next one is that a monk speak gently and without laughter, seriously and with becoming modesty. And the 12th step, the last one, is that a monk always manifests humility in his bearing, no less than in his heart, so that it is evident to everybody. And he's always aware of what a sinner he is. Now, that's the way the rule of St. Benedict describes the basic Benedictine spirituality. Now, our Lord, you know, says, come to me, all you who are laboring and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Why? Because I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. All of these are quotes from the Old Testament. For my yoke is sweet and my burden is light. And you know, it is. Because as we move closer to the Lord, we love Him. And things that seemed like big deals, oh, they don't mean anything. And then, that person is at peace. So you see, humility is what? It's just truth. You know, as Saint Teresa of Avila used to say, humility is not thinking little of ourselves, it's not thinking of ourselves at all. Now, people who are there, they're just a pleasure to be near, because they're not always trying to find out if they're one up on you or you're one up on them, or, you know, did you read this book or did you do, you know, they're not. Now, that's a grace. And it's the theme of all these readings that we're going to have today. Well, then, how do we learn to acquire humility? First, pray for it. One of the old monastic adages, humiliations lead to humility. You want humility? Just accept humiliations, and it'll come. Except when you're overlooked. Why do they ask that person? I know more than he does. That's just pride. You know, if God, you wanted me to provide the answer to that, you would have seen to it that they asked me, but they didn't. Hallelujah. Because, you see, heart of humility is being fascinated with Jesus Christ and living that way, you see? And so it means knowing yourself. See, a lot of the adulation, promotion, attention that we want is to keep ourselves distracted from our true state. But when you know your true state before God, and you let God do that, you know, Curie of Ars once said, don't ask God for a vision of your true state before Him. He said, I did once, and I nearly went crazy. Let the Lord show it to you when you're ready. And He will. And while it's a bit unsettling, it brings peace. It brings peace. Because that doesn't happen without a relationship to God, without our Lord Jesus Christ being the center of your life and your attention and your interest and your affection. Then the other thing, oh, they hurt, you know, when you're not recognized or you're, all those things that are good for our ego and we don't have any of them. Well, that's great. You see, if we know how to handle it. Now, some people will push themselves down, but it's like one of those big balloons. You push down, but the minute you let go, pop, up it comes again. You know, you haven't gotten rid of pride. You've just tried to sit on it. And that won't work long. Because what happens then, you're resentful if you're not being noticed or if people don't pay attention to you or compliment you. That's not necessary. The key to deep humility is love. Because if I love other people, I want them honored and gratified and paid attention to, and because I love them. You know, a good example is a mother. She works and works and works, you know, and helps the child with the piano lessons, and then they go to a piano concert, and the child's up there playing away, and everybody's clapping, and mom is sitting in the audience clapping away, and yet if mom had not humbled herself and helped that child, she'd never be up there playing. So, you see, humility is just plain truth. But the Lord usually lets us in on that little by little. Because if we saw the complete vision, like I mentioned, the Curie of Ars, we'd go nuts. We couldn't take it. Our true state, our utter dependence upon God and His mercy for everything, it takes us a long time to get used to that realization and to live from it. What we do most of the time is we're looking for diversions so we don't have to face that. The movies, a party, a good book, whatever, so that we don't have to look at that reality. But once we let the Lord lead us there, that is the road to freedom. You stop wasting so much energy trying to get people to like and applaud you, and you're content with the Lord. And what do you know? People start to like you, and you know then it's authentic. They like you because they like you. They don't like you because you're trying to force them into it. And that is the basics. Now, the realization is that we're going to see is that everything I have is from God as a gift. So we're going to pursue that now.